Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 14. We'll speak to you on the subject, Christ Cares. You know, there's always trials and troubles. Jesus promised, as long as we're in the world, we're going to have trouble. But he says, be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. You know, there's nothing that ever comes into our life that's not filtered through God's love. Sometimes those things are very hard. Sometimes they're very painful. But God is using everything to transform us into the image of His Son. And so we can give thanks for every trial, every problem that ever comes into our lives. Because God is greater than all of our trouble and all of our trials. Stand with me, if you will, in honor of God's Word. Matthew chapter 14, beginning with verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? When they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you still have the same power that you've ever possessed. And Lord, you have the same love for us that you had for your disciples. And you invite us to live without fear, just like you invited them. Lord, we thank you that we can be courageous and we can live without fear, because you have told us that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, I pray this morning that if there's one here that's troubled, burdened, going through a trial, that you would comfort every heart. Lord, if there's one that's never received Christ as Savior, that you would stir their heart to see their need of a Savior, that you would save them before it's eternally too late. Remove anything from my heart that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me. Lord, use me simply as your instrument. Speak your truth to us and open our understanding that we may know your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, in this picture, we have Jesus walking on the sea, and it's no wonder to me that they thought it was a spirit, because these fishermen had been on the water a lot and they had never been able to walk on water. You'd have to have some pretty big feet to be able to walk on water. But here comes Jesus just walking like it's a dry land. And so they say, well, that must be a ghost. It must be something that is lighter than normal humans, or they couldn't walk on the water. But Jesus can do anything that he wants to do. Jesus has power over the elements. He has power over everything. As a matter of fact, Jesus controls everything. The Bible says, he is before all things, and in him all things consist. That word means holds together. If Jesus took a break, the universe would disappear, because he's holding it all together. He's making it all work. Folks, that's the God we serve. That's the God who tells us, don't be afraid, I got this. But still, like old Peter, sometimes we get afraid, don't we? And God is trying to free us from our fear. The book of Job is all about God freeing us from fear. You know, all the problems that came into Job's life, Job said, "The thing that I greatly feared has come upon me." And at the end of the book, fear's gone. He said, "I've seen God face to face." To know God and to understand who He is and the power that He has frees us from fear. We don't have to be afraid of anything. There is nothing that can harm us except it being the will of God. And if God wills for us to be harmed, that's what we need, is to be harmed. And so we need to just take it as it comes and thank God for it. He says, in everything, give thanks. And in order for that to be the case, we have to be willing to have the will of God in our life. You know, most of us pray, "Lord, I want to do your will." And we mean that. But a lot of times what we're thinking is that that's going to be a good thing. But you see, sometimes the will of God is not all that fun. God says that He's going to take care of us. God gives us direction. He gives us direction through His Word. I listen to what he says here. And this whole picture, this is something that really happened. It's not a made-up parable. This is a really historical happening. And he uses that to show us how he deals with trials in our life. Now notice what he says here, verse 28 and 29. Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, notice, Jesus gave him permission to defy gravity. You see that? When he said, "Come," that gave him something that the other men did not have. Gave him something that he did not have before the direction was given. We have to be in the will of God and walking in the will of God, because that is where our safety is. The safest place for us to live is right in the center of God's will. Amen? And so here comes Peter. He crawls down out of the boat, and he's walking on the water. Somebody said one time, Peter was weak in his faith. I've never walked on water. Have y'all? Peter walked on water. He was in the will of God. He was walking along. He was obeying God. But you see, we all have a command. We all have things that God has directed us to do. And we have the power to do that. Don't ever forget that. There is, with the command, the power to obey the command. We can do what God tells us to do. If we study His Word and we understand what He wants us to do, we can do that, because He gives us the power with the command. He tells us that we are to fear not. More than 365 times in the Bible, He says, "Fear not." He's pretty serious about that. What God is trying to teach us in all the trials of our life is to live without fear. The opposite of fear is faith. Now the just shall live by faith, right? And so if we live in fear, we're not living by faith. And so God is bringing us through all these trials so that we can eliminate fear from our lives. God cares for us. I have been in situations that there was no way out. No way out whatsoever, except that God got me out of it. Y'all have been there too. If you lived any time as a Christian, you've been in situations that without God, you can't get out of the situation. And all of a sudden, God makes a way, and we go, whew. But we never were in danger, because God was in control. And the more we realize that, the more abundant our life becomes, the more joy we have, and the less fear we have. 2 Timothy 1, 6 through 7 says this: "Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The spirit of fear comes from the devil, not from God. I seen a sign on a lady's desk one time. It said, if this doesn't make you nervous, you don't understand what's going on. That was her philosophy of life. The people who are not afraid just don't understand. You should be afraid. But the truth is, there's nothing that we should ever be afraid of. We should always just be trusting God. Because I can promise you one thing, the will of God will be done. Just grab your best hope and hang on. Because he will accomplish his will for your life. Now sometimes we get crossways because we take a left turn when he said go to the right. But you know the beauty of it. The Bible says whether you turn to the right hand or to the left, you hear the voice of the Lord behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. We have the direction from God all the way through our life. And we should never fear. But if you're not going to fear, you're going to have to not figure, too. Figuring gets us in trouble, don't it? We start trying to figure out a solution rather than just turning to God. We get ourselves in trouble. Listen to Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. If you can get that one verse internalized in your life, you will be a much more happy person. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean to your own understanding. We start looking at a situation and we say, oh, we need to do this and we need to do this and we need to do this. And God's going totally in a different direction. You see, the problem with my plan is that I don't have the power to make my plan work, and I know that. And so I have to worry over that. I have to stay up at night and say, what if this happens? And what if this happens? What if this happens? But if I get with God's plan, he's going to carry that out. And I don't have to worry about it. I can just write it out. And at the end of it, I can see God's purpose. But if I try to figure it out myself, I get in trouble. So he says, now here's the key. Here's the key to the Christian life. Just like he told old Peter, just come on, walk on the water. You can do that. I'm giving you permission to do that. Just don't lean to your own understanding. Just trust me. You see, folks, God is real. Now, I say that, you say, well, we all know that. Let me tell you something. If we know that, there's no reason for fear. Every time you get afraid, you're doubting the existence of God. Now, think about it. If God came to you and he said, I want you to go through this horrible situation, and I'll be there and I'll get you out of it. Don't worry about it. Well, we'd all say, well, okay, I'll do that. Well, God doesn't do that. He doesn't announce these horrible situations that you're going to go through. He just puts you in it and says, trust me. And when he says, trust me, he's saying, none of these situations just happen. This storm on the sea didn't just happen. I laid that out. I set the situation up. It's for you, not against you. It's to prove you. It is to strengthen you. It is to give you courage. It is to take away your fear. Just trust me. Don't look around and say, oh, we're in big trouble here. Just trust me. In every situation, God's real. And God has everything under control. And you see, God cares what happens to you. He cares what happens to me. And he is going to do everything to prepare us for heaven. Folks, that's God's purpose. When the Bible says in Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose. See, when we realize that, God's not saying, like a lot of the preachers are saying on the radio, God wants you rich and famous and happy and to have all this stuff. That's not what he's saying. God wants you to be rich and famous and happy in heaven. See, and the only way that he's going to be able to prepare that for you is to get some of the fear and some of the anxiety out of you down here so you can lay up treasures in heaven. And so that's what all the trials are about. That's why he gives us these opportunities. That's the reason people will get mad at us and say things about us that are false and try to hurt us. And Jesus said, okay, now here's what you do. When that happens, I'm allowing you to lay up treasures in heaven. So rejoice and be exceeding glad. First time I read that, I thought, surely that's not what God's saying. When somebody says, all this evil against me falsely, I'm supposed to rejoice and be exceeding glad. That's not the first thought that I have. But you see, the Lord says, for great is your reward in heaven. Now, if you want to make some sense out of that, think about how long you're going to live on the earth compared to how long you're going to live in heaven. That makes sense, right? 100 years on the earth, we consider that a long time for somebody to live. 100 years is, it's not even a drop in the bucket compared to eternity. And so the Lord will sacrifice pleasure and comfort and all those things if he has to get you ready for heaven. And when we get to heaven, we're going to wish we'd had more troubles, more trials, more opportunities than we've had. And especially when we think about all the ones we've messed up. You know, something bad happens, instead of praising the Lord, we turn the air blue. And we throw a fit. We just burn all that up. And we've missed an opportunity. And the Lord said, don't do that. Trust me. I got this. I'm not going to let anything bad happen. It's all good. Because the bad stuff, what we see as bad stuff, is an opportunity to trust God. And if we trust God, it's good. Because it lays up treasures in heaven. And God tells us that if we trust him, we will fail not. You see, God is able to hold us up. The Bible says, why do we judge one another? Because before their own master, they stand or fall. And then he says, yea, they will stand. Because God's able to hold them up. You see, God wants us to mind our own business when it comes to judging. Because we don't know what somebody's going through. We don't know what kind of trial they're having. You know, we can criticize old Peter for sinking. But you go out and try walking on the water, and you'll have a little more compassion for him. You see, it's not something you do every day. People go through trials that we haven't faced. And so God says, just leave the judging to me. Don't go there. Don't mess with that. Because I'm the one who is bringing these things into their life just like I bring things into your life. And so whenever we understand that, then we are guaranteed that we are not going to fail because God is going to hold us up. Listen to Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I like that. You may stumble, but if you're trusting God, that stumbling will be followed by a getting up, a lifting up. Mourning may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. God has a way of overcoming every trial, every trouble that we face. When we get the direction from God, we have to be real careful about distraction. Distraction will cause us to lean to our own understanding. Amen. Listen to verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Now, why did Peter sink? You ever thought about that? God had given him the opportunity to walk on water. He could have done backflips if he'd have wanted to. There's nothing in him that would have caused that water to drop him except doubt. And what caused his doubt was he began to lean to his own understanding. He began to look at the waves and he began to say, what am I doing? How do I think I can walk on water? Just because Jesus can walk on water don't mean I can walk on water. And I'm going to drown out here. Probably couldn't even swim. And he's saying, I need some help. As soon as he began to think those thoughts, he went down. Folks, we do the same thing. Whenever we have a trial, we have some difficulty in our life, something that is dangerous to us, something that we perceive as dangerous to us, we have to ask ourselves, has God got this? Is there really a God in heaven who cares about me? And will he take care of me in this situation? And if we answer that, yes, there is, and I can trust him. And I just accept that, whatever his will in this situation is, that's what I want. When we do that, then we can go forward and just keep on walking on that water. But if we start looking around, and we say, you know, this last time I jumped out of the boat, I sunk. And everybody I've ever seen jump out of the boat sunk. This situation looks dangerous to me. We begin to sink. And God wants us to stay on top of the water. He wants us to keep on trusting right on through it. You know, one of the greatest things we can do is trust God all the way to the end. I plan one of these days, when it comes my time to die, to die expecting God to rescue me. God has rescued me so many times. Right at the last minute sometimes. Right at the last second sometimes. And I hope that when I finally am taken out of this world, I can die expecting God to deliver me. And he will deliver me. And I'll find myself standing there before him and I'll say, this was the big one. This was the one that was going to take me home, and that's good. But you see, I'd rather live my life by faith than to be always terrorized by fear. Because fear has torments. And we need to be very careful that we do not dishonor our God by living in fear and worry. One of the things that pulls us away from walking with God is remembering past. There's a lot of times when the devil wants to suggest to us all about our past. He wants to stir us up to think about our past and what was going on in the past. Let me tell you, whenever the devil starts talking about your past, just tell him about his future. There's going to be a time when he's going to have to stand before God. He's going to be thrown into the lake of fire. But he will try to torment you with your past. Listen to what Numbers 11, 4 through 6 says. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the pinions and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. You see, these people begin to remember the pleasures of the past. They begin to think about how they enjoyed those things. And they wanted to go back. And they wanted to enjoy those things again. And we have to be careful that the devil is not able to draw us away and entice us through remembering the pleasures of the past. The reality of life is laid out for us in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And one of the things he tells us here is to not lay up treasures in heaven. Now he gives us a look into the future here. And so let's look at this. Matthew 6, 19 through 26. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Now notice he says that we can't serve God and mammon. A mammon is the whole world system of finance. If we govern our lives by our pocketbook, we're going to worry a lot. We're going to fret a lot. We're going to have all kinds of difficulties living our life for Christ because that holds us down. And you say, well, it's necessary to have things. Well, God says he knows what you need, and he's going to take care of it. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. When we realize that, then God will show himself strong on our behalf. We cannot serve mammon and lay up treasures in heaven at the same time. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't need things. God will supply because you do need things. You need food. You need clothing. But the Lord says, having those things, be content. We all have enough to be content. We may not have what the neighbor has, but we have enough to be content. We may not have what somebody in our family has, but we have enough to be content. And we need to be content with what God gives us. Because what he's doing with the situation that you're in is laying up treasures in heaven. And that's where you want your treasures to be. Because you get to keep them forever. Notice he says the reason not to lay up treasures on earth is because moth and rust corrupts and thieves break through and steal and all those problems. You see, we're only going to be here for a little while longer. Then we'll be going home. Either by the undertaker or the undertaker. One or the other. And then all of what we've stored up goes to somebody else. We can't take it with us when we go. But when we get to heaven, excuse me, whatever is in heaven there stored up is forever. It lasts and lasts and lasts. And so when we lay up those treasures, moth and rust is not going to corrupt, and we're not going to die and leave them behind. Did you know that 100 billion years from now, I'm still going to be in heaven? Just getting started good. 2 or 3 more 100 billion years. Still there. Still going strong. Let me ask you something. What do you suppose all of us sitting around in heaven, whatever we do in heaven, and let's say it's been 20 billion years into the future. What do you think this little old short life down here on earth is going to look like to us from that vantage point? It's going to be just a blip compared to what we've had up there. It's a long time. Billions of years, see? God says, don't waste your time down here. Send your treasures to heaven because you've got them forever. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know what treasures in heaven are going to be. I don't know what the value of the treasures in heaven is going to be. It's not going to be money because the streets are made out of gold. You know, so it's not like it's going to be you'll have a lot of money in the bank in heaven because you're not going to need money in heaven. Whatever's going on in heaven and you're a part of, your treasures are going to be important. You say, how do you know they're going to be important? It's because Jesus said they were. See, whatever it is, when we get there, we're going to want more of it. And the way you get more of it when you get there is to live for Jesus and lay up your treasures in heaven right now. And the key to laying up treasures in heaven is living by faith instead of fear. If we live by faith, whatever's going on, we're laying up treasures in heaven. If we live by fear, we're burning them up because we're wasting it all right down here. And if we regard iniquity, we get in big trouble. The Bible says not to make any provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. But if we, thank you, Miss Candace, appreciate that. I've been wrestling with a scratchy throat for 2 weeks now. Psalm 66 and verse 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, what does that mean, to regard iniquity in my heart? Well, the key word is regard. To regard means that you know it's there, but you ignore it. You overlook it. You embrace it. And you maybe even wish that God would change his mind about this particular thing because you enjoy it and you know he's not happy with it, but you just keep hanging on to it. If you regard iniquity in your heart, you're going to just burn up all the blessings that God has for you. But there is deliverance. Listen to verse 31 through 33. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? When they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And they which were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. When Peter failed, it was not just all over. He didn't drown. God let him go through that trial to the point where Peter's faith failed and then he rescued him. That's the way he does this, folks. He stretches our faith. You know, we start out as baby Christians, our faith is real short. It's kind of like a little rubber band, you know. Prayers are answered real quickly for young children. If you need a prayer answered quick, get a child to pray for you because their faith is short. And so God doesn't stretch them as long. But as you begin to grow in the Lord, then God begins to stretch your faith. And he brings it out here and you get to this place in your trial and you say, Lord, that's it. If you go any further, my faith is going to break. And he takes us a little bit further. And then he lets it up. Well, you say, well, that's good because my faith is stretched. But he starts there next time. And then he starts stretching. And he gets it on out here. And finally you say, if you go any further, my faith is going to snap. He takes you a little further. And then he rescues us. And that's the way our faith is stretched. And folks, we need more faith. God knows we need more faith. And so he keeps on stretching that faith through trials. And that's the reason we need to thank him for those trials rather than bellyache about it. Why does everything happen to me? You ever heard that? Maybe we've even said that. But the truth is, those are good things because our faith is getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And we use the trials of our past to help us through the trials of the future. Have you noticed that? You know when David was going to go out and fight against Goliath? Remember what he told the king? He said, I was watching my father's sheep, and a lion came and took one of my lambs. He said, I killed that lion, and I got my lamb back. He said, then a bear came, and he took one of my lambs, and I killed that bear, and I got my lamb back. He said, God delivered the bear and the lamb into my hand, and he will deliver this uncircumcised Philistine. You see how his faith was being stretched? He was ready to face the giant because he had faced the bear, he had faced the lion, and God had given him the victory, so he knew that it was not in his power that he went out to fight Goliath, but in God's power. Folks, that's the way we have to face our trials. Not in our own power. There's a lot of things that when they come into your life, you can't handle. And that's a fact. And the devil would tell you that. You can't handle this. You're in big trouble here. You're going to fail as sure as the world. You can't handle this. You know what you need to do? You say, yeah, you're right. But you know what? God can. I can't handle this, but God can. And God is real. He's on his throne. He has not lost one bit of his power. And just as he has delivered men in the past, he will deliver me today. We need to know that, and we need to get the deliverance from God. You say, well, can I trust God to be my help? Yes, you can. Now, this is important, folks. You got to know God's on your side. If you have received Christ as your Savior, God has promised to help you. Let me read that promise to you. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You see that? That's a promise from God. Don't be afraid. I'll help you. There's situations going to come in your life you can't handle. But there will never be a situation that God can't handle. And he has promised to be on your side to work it out. Our God is a deliverer. And he will deliver us. And we need to trust that. Did you know the greatest worship that you can ever do is trusting God? The greatest worship that you can do is not just lifting your hands and saying words. The greatest worship you can do is going through a trial, hanging on to Jesus' hand, and trusting him to the end. Whatever comes out, whatever happens, if you perish, perish trusting God. Leave this world with your hand in hand with Jesus, and you'll never have anything to look back on. Humility on our part is the key. Pride has to be upheld. If you want to go around with your thumbs and your suspenders and showing off to the world, you're on your own. The Bible says God resists the proud, gives his grace to the humble. We have to humble ourselves before God. Listen to James 4, 5 through 7. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You see, we have to align ourselves up with God. We have to understand it's God's power that we're living in, not ours. God's never fixed any bit of my sinful nature. He has never fixed any bit of your sinful nature. You still got it. But what he's done is he's given us power to overcome it. I seen a preacher one time. He was telling me, he said, you know, I can't remember the last time I sinned. I said, well, other than lying, what do you do? You know, that's just a bald-faced lie. He just kind of chuckled. He knew he was lying. He either had a bad memory or he was lying, one or the other. But you see, God wants us to understand it's His power. It's not our power. We have to humble ourselves before God. That's what it means to humble ourselves. To understand we're operating in His power. The reason we have what we have is because God gave it to us. The reason that we are not dying today is because God is keeping us alive. And when it comes time for us to die, the reason we will go out of this world and have an angelic host taking us to heaven is because of Jesus Christ in our life. You see, we don't have anything to brag about. Best we can be in this old world is just a sinner saved by grace. And I thank God to be one. Jesus came into the world to save us sinners. And we need to just humble ourselves and receive what He gives us by faith and keep on trusting. Our hope is in Jesus Christ and Him alone. It's not in horses. It's not in machine guns. It's not in anything that this world has. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. And He will protect us until it's ready for us to go home. He said, I have gone to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I am thankful that God is right now preparing us a place to go to when we leave this world. Because we're going to leave this world. It's just a matter of time. And it may be quicker than we think. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 16 through 19. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things, that's unchanging things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Now, folks, here's the message this morning. God wants you to know that He loves you and He cares what happens to you. And when things come into your life, His message to you is just trust me. Don't lean to your own understanding. You say, but I might die. Well, you know what? When you die, you're going to look back on that day as the greatest day of your life. Because when a Christian dies, he goes right into the bosom of God. And there is a beautiful reception waiting for you. God has trials set up. And those are opportunities. This next week, you're going to all face trials. And when you face those trials, you have a choice to make. Because you can't overcome the trials by yourself. And those trials will be difficult trials. But you can either trust God or you can lean to your own understanding. If you trust God, just hang on to His hand and go right on through. If you lean to your own understanding, it's going to scare you to death. You're going to have trouble sleeping at night. You're going to have all kinds of worry and fretting. And Jesus is going to be standing there saying, just trust me. Don't be afraid. I'm your God. I'll help you. I'll strengthen you. I'll hold you up. And He will. You see, God cares what happens to us. Not only in this life, but in the life to come. He has big plans for every one of us in heaven. Do you know that? He has a job assigned to every one of us in heaven. We've got to go through some qualifying steps to get there. And they all have to do with faith. All have to do with trust. And when we stand before God one day, all of our trials and all of our situations will be put up in a heap and they'll be tested, and all the wood, hay, and stubble will burn up. Whatever's left will be our reward. And folks, we make the decision whether we're going to trust God or not. Nobody makes that for us. Nobody can take away your reward. Only you. But if you trust God every day, you'll have full reward. If you don't, it's going to burn up. It's as simple as that. Now, you know the trials are coming. Jesus said, while you're in the world, you're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Don't be afraid. Because I'll be with you. I'll help you. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior, let me tell you something. Jesus died to save you. He wants desperately to prepare a home for you in heaven. But you have to receive it by faith. If you'll put your trust in Jesus and his death, burial, and resurrection, he'll save you this morning. And you'll be sealed for all eternity. If you're here and you have a burden and you need to come to the altar and pray, the altars are always open. Let the Lord have his way as we stand and go to him in prayer.